Thank you, praise and worship team. Always wonderful. I do want to mention before we get into the word this morning that today at 4 o'clock and every Sunday at 4, our teen ministry, our youth ministry meets. And Coach Perkins and Miss Jada, I believe, are ministering on a very special topic today, so relevant for all of us. And more adults than teens are watching every Sunday afternoon at 4 and then at 6 with the kids. But I think today Coach and Miss Jade are talking about the unrest in America and the questions that come with that and a biblical approach to that. So it's going to be great. Thank you, Coach, for ministering, you and Miss Jade, to our new generation, God's anointed new generation, our youth group. And then, of course, at 6 o'clock, we all get to visit the farm, Osborne Acres. Pastor Steve and Miss Lori and Amber and Justin, and you never know who's going to appear for our kids' church. We're doing everything we can during these times to continue ministering to all of our people. Sundays, we're filled with the Word, and it goes forth virtually. And so tune in 4 for the youth, 6 p.m. tonight for our kids' ministry. And I want to mention Lawrence Tuning. He will be here next Sunday and will be speaking. He always brings a good word. I love his teaching. I've never fallen asleep. Some of you wake up out there right now. I'm just kidding. But Lawrence will bring a story, at least one, from Lee County. And he's always a blessing to us and to the world. So Lawrence Tuning here next Sunday. And I want to mention one other thing, and that is somebody who's very important to us, a very special young lady, is having a birthday this week, and it's Pastor Steve's wife, Miss Lori. Now, I won't tell you how old Miss Lori is. I will say, who said what? Oh, no, you did not blow her cover. 31, we heard 31. I believe it, look at her. She is a blessing behind the scenes and front and center always. Just a blessing to the whole church. So on Thursday, I believe her birthday is Thursday. So you tweet, Instagram, email, text her. Get a plane and ride it in the sky. Whatever you need to do, let's wish Miss Lori Osborne a happy birthday this Thursday. I will say, yes, we have a live audience this morning, growing a little bit, and a baby. That's fine. We have no nurseries yet and no kids' classes yet. That will come in phase 2, date to be announced. But between now and then, children, babies are welcome with their families in the sanctuary. And for those of you who are watching, you know where we are and all of that. Can't wait for everybody to get back together. But week by week, our sanctuary is getting more and more filled. We have your seat, if you're at home, we have your seat reserved. Don't you worry about it. We're waiting for you too. Many are not here yet, and we understand because we're together wherever you're located. Thanks for being a part of our church family and always on Sunday morning. Well, today is Pentecost Sunday, and I want to talk about the Holy Spirit advantage. You know, there should be a distinction in the life of believers because of the advantage the Holy Spirit gives to us. We have more available to us than those who are of the world. God the Father is in heaven. Jesus the Son is in heaven seated at the Father's right hand. But the Holy Spirit of God is the part of the Trinity that has invaded the earth and indwells each of us as believers. If you want to get to know God better, you have to get to know the Holy Spirit better, because that's the one that's inside of us. Pentecost Sunday is celebrated once a year, always 7 weeks after Easter Sunday. It is not only celebrated by Pentecostals and Charismatics. It is also celebrated by Protestants of every denomination and by Catholics all over the world. Every believer on the planet commemorates this historic day that happened 2,000 years ago. It happened 50 days more or less after Jesus was crucified and resurrected. He remained alive on earth after he was raised from the dead for 40 days. And during those 40 days, he showed himself alive to many people, not only his disciples, but at one occasion, he revealed himself alive. They had seen him crucified on the cross, but here he was alive again to a group of more than 500 people at one time. The Bible said that he presented himself alive with many infallible proofs that although he was dead, he is now alive. And then at the end of 40 days, he ascended into heaven, and 10 days later, the Holy Spirit fell in the earth. And the Holy Spirit has never left the earth since he invaded the earth on that first Pentecost Sunday. Now, as his life on earth and as his ministry was winding up, Jesus called his disciples together in John 14, beginning at verse 16. And Jesus said to his followers, he said, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him." Jesus said to his followers, "But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And then a little later in John 16 and verse 7, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." I can only imagine, I've thought about it many times, what it must have been like to be in the crowd when Jesus was alive on earth, to see the miracles, to eat of the bread and fish that he miraculously multiplied, to watch him as he opened blind eyes, healed lepers and made them cleansed, to be an eyewitness to him raising the dead back to life, and all the wonderful things, just to be in the crowd and to be within earshot of his tremendous teaching. How wonderful that would have been. But he said to his disciples, "It is to your advantage that I go away." Now, that would have broken my heart if I'd have been in the crowd. I would have thought, how can it get any better than this? Jesus present with us in physical form. It can't get any better. It can't get any better than Jesus with us. And now we're hearing Jesus say, "It is to your advantage that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Helper, the Spirit of truth, cannot come. But if I depart, I will send him to you." He said it's to our advantage that he leave us and send the Holy Spirit. The word advantage there in the King James Version is the word expedient. Jesus was saying, "It's expedient for you that I leave you, so that the Holy Spirit can take my place in your life." It means more profitable for you. It means better for you. Jesus said to his disciples, It is more profitable for you. It is better for you for me to leave and send the Holy Spirit. And the immediate presence of the Holy Spirit is better for us than the physical presence of Jesus with us. Now, I get excited about the Holy Spirit because He's the one who is even better for us than Jesus being with us physically. When Jesus was with us, the Spirit was with us. But when Jesus departed and sent the Holy Spirit, the Spirit now is within us. Now, we've accepted the truth that Jesus was God in the flesh. We beheld the Word of God. He was the Son, the Word made flesh. We've accepted the fact that Jesus was God in the flesh. Now we must equally accept the truth that the Holy Spirit is God in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is that power that works in us, God at work in us, doing exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. Let me ask a sobering question. I've been caught off guard a few times with people asking me sobering questions. I told you about one that haunts me still. 20 plus years ago, in a small group of pastors sitting in a circle for an hour, sharing openly, and the leader of the group looked at me and said, "Carl, what is God doing in your life?" And I had not stopped lately to give an inventory of all that God was, and it caught me off guard. And that's embarrassing for a pastor not to have an immediate answer when somebody asks, "What is God doing in your life?" I'm going to ask you a shocking question. What is your relationship with the Holy Spirit really like? Do you notice He's within you? Can you tell a difference because He's here with you? Do you desire more of a relationship, a better one, a stronger relationship? Are you even aware that He is here and brings great advantage to your life? Well, I'll tell you what the Holy Spirit thinks about you and me. The Holy Spirit has a strong desire to be in a relationship with you and with me. In James chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, "The Spirit who dwells within us yearns jealously." The Passion Translation, I like the way it reads. It says, "The Spirit that God breathes into our hearts is a jealous lover who intensely desires more and more of us." That's how the Holy Spirit feels about a potential relationship with us. He is jealous over us. He yearns intensely to have more and more of us, like a jealous lover. Now, the Holy Spirit is a person, the third person of the Godhead Trinity. And like any other person with a personality, the Holy Spirit can be, and all of this is biblical, can be grieved. He can be resisted. He can be quenched. And He can even be blasphemed. The Holy Spirit is as real to us today as the breath in our lungs that we breathe. In fact, He is not an outsider. He is an insider. And He brings great advantage to the children of God with His indwelling in our lives. Imagine being a disciple in the crowd and hearing Jesus say this in John 16 and verse 12. Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He," capital H, "the Spirit," capital S, "the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth." For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Jesus had told them amazing things, had given such great revelation, and then said, I'm about to leave. My mission is almost accomplished. But I still have some things I want to tell you, but you can't bear them yet. Well, when can we bear them? When can we receive what you have to say? Only after the Holy Spirit has come. Now that's powerful. Jesus rolled out the red carpet and introduced the Holy Spirit to the world. He will guide you into all truth. Jesus said, I have things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. The Greek translation for the word bear, you cannot receive and sustain them now. There are some things by way of revelation that we will never be able to receive and sustain without the Holy Spirit working in us. So I'm telling you, when Jesus left and sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, it didn't take long for the believers in the upper room who received the Holy Spirit the moment he hit the earth to realize, I never thought it could be possible, but this is better for us than even Jesus being with us in a physical body. The Message translation says it like this, I still have many things to tell you, but you can't handle them now. But the Spirit of truth will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. Now, that's a job description for the Holy Spirit right there. To take us by the hand and lead us into all the truth there is, and us be able to receive it and sustain it, to bear it when it's spoken to us. And here's the truth. Jesus had an assignment on earth. But when he was hanging on the cross and he said, it is finished, his mission then was accomplished. His work on earth was finished on the cross. But the work of the Holy Spirit is an ongoing work. 2,000 years now, the Holy Spirit has been indwelling believers and been revealing truth to believers that they could not receive, couldn't bear up under it, could not handle the truth until the Holy Spirit became a part of their lives. Now, the Holy Spirit changes us. That's his job description. The Holy Spirit is a change agent. If the Holy Spirit were passing out business cards, it would say on his business card, the job description is to reproduce the life of Christ in every believer. And that takes him our lifetime to do it. So we should be growing, learning, receiving, and sustaining revelation because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that impacted the earth on the first Pentecost Sunday. Now, I am not saying we should not be the same spiritually as we were 7 years ago. I'm not saying that. I am saying we should not be the same spiritually as we were 7 days ago. Because the Holy Spirit is at work 24 hours a day, revealing truth that we could not handle without him. And think of the possibility. The Holy Spirit will tell us all the truth there is. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, and being assembled together with them, Jesus and the apostles, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem," that was home base, "in Judea and Samaria, and from there to the end of the earth." Jesus, right before he ascended into heaven, was reminding them of the Great Commission. He was saying to them, "I'm getting ready to give you all the power you need to be my witnesses. Start at home in Jerusalem, but don't stay there. Go into Judea, Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth." It was the Great Commission. Jesus was saying, "Go into all the world and be my witnesses." But then he said, "But not so fast. There's one more thing," Jesus said, "and it's a most important instruction. Before you do anything, before you go anywhere," Jesus said, "wait for the Holy Spirit. Don't leave home without Him." That's how much advantage the Holy Spirit brings into our lives. And of course, these four verses are being read practically, probably, in every Christian church on the planet today. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Now this is 120 close followers of Jesus in the upper room in Jerusalem following his instructions. Don't leave home without the Holy Spirit I have promised you. 10 days they waited. And when the Holy Spirit invaded that room that day and powerfully touched all of the people that were gathered there, they staggered down the steps of that upper room and walked out onto the streets of Jerusalem. And people from other nations were in Jerusalem that day, and the people who had been baptized in the Holy Spirit had the ability to preach the gospel to other people in their own native language. And the Apostle Peter stepped up, and he was a changed man instantly. This same man who was a flip-flop, who was wishy-washy, who was unstable, undependable, full of the Spirit, you would think, one minute, and four verses later, Jesus looked him in the eye and called him Satan. "Get behind me." You know people like that. Aren't we all a little bit like that? We can be Spirit-led and then we can be flesh-driven. The change can take place on a dime. But that changed in the Apostle Peter's life. He was one that was in the upper room and received the Holy Spirit when it hit the earth. And he preached a message on day one. That very same day, he preached a message without a PA system or a megaphone. And 3,000 people heard it and believed it and received Jesus as their Lord that day. We look back on the first Pentecost Sunday as the birthday of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there were different responses to the Holy Spirit. There are today different responses. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, you can read it. Some were perplexed. Has God ever moved in a way you just couldn't think, "Well, I don't know how, what, why?" Some were perplexed. Others mocked. Said, It's 9 o'clock in the morning. These people shouldn't be drunk, but they're drunk. they began mocking it. But the Bible says, but many believed. And those that were believed were born again and added to the church. And then every day after that, those who were born again every day became members of the church the day they were born again. And Peter preached, the church was birthed. How important is the Holy Spirit in our lives today? James chapter 2 and verse 26 tells us the truth, and we all know it. The body without the Spirit is dead. So the truth is, how important is the Holy Spirit in our lives today? The body of Christ without the Holy Spirit is dead. If it were not for the Holy Spirit and His power to be witnesses on earth, we would be as good as dead. The New Testament talks about a group of people who will have a form of godliness. They'll dress the part, talk the part for the most part, but deny the power of the Holy Spirit. The body of Christ, and that's us. That's us. That includes all of us. That includes those who are here in this sanctuary right now. And those of you who are elsewhere, at home or wherever you're watching. And it doesn't stop there. It includes everybody who's ever confessed their faith in Jesus as their Lord. Regardless of denomination or what nation you live, all over the planet right now today, we are the body of Christ. And without the Holy Spirit, we're as good as dead. That's the kind of advantage the Holy Spirit gives us. Now, the Holy Spirit moves in at the new birth. Actually, He starts before then. We can't even get to salvation except it's the goodness of God that leads us. So I think the Holy Spirit's hovering all over the earth and not just dealing with me or you, but even people who are not yet in the kingdom, the Holy Spirit is hovering over and pulling and drawing them in. It's the goodness of God that leads a sinner to repentance. So I think the Holy Spirit, all over the earth since day one, Pentecost Sunday, is busier than we even realize, working in us and then in the lives of others who will become one with us because of the goodness of God. He reproduces the life of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the chief executive officer in our lives. He's the speaker of the house. He's the one, when we open our mouth, He will give us the right words to say. He is the manager of our lives. If you've made a mess of your life, let Him manage it. The Holy Spirit is great at that. He's a coach. He is a mentor. He's like an umpire. He lives inside of us, and the umpire is the one who says, you're way off track right now, or you're safe right now. The Holy Spirit can do this. He is an arresting officer sometimes by His conviction. Have you ever done something, even if nobody else is watching, and you knew it was wrong as soon as you did it, and something on the inside of you went, oh, that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes He will disturb our rest when there's a new season on the horizon for our life. Sometimes everything is just fine until suddenly we realize on the inside the Spirit is redirecting and leading us to a new place. He's a teacher. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. Jesus said, I've got so much more I want to teach you, but you can't handle it now. However, it's to your advantage I leave you. Because when I leave, I will send the Holy Spirit, and He will teach you all the truth there is. There's a verse in the New Testament. I like this translation. Jesus said it Himself. He that is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Jesus said, don't think that you'll ever be greater than the teacher. But it's enough. Be happy with this. That you can be just like the teacher. And the Holy Spirit perfectly trains us as believers so that we will be like Christ. He reveals truth to us. The Holy Spirit is a guide. He gives specific instructions. Now, if you're like me, and I'm never threatened by it, it doesn't compromise me or pollute me. I can hear it and know what category it's in. But have you ever noticed some of the celebrities? I won't call any names. But many of them, in their search for a spiritual life out there somewhere, they will refer to, oh, I have a spirit guide. One famous actress who's getting on in age, she's had a spirit guide all of her life. She knows his name. She even said, he's 4,000 years old, my spirit guide. So my spirit guide helps me get through life. He leads me. He guides me. I have a spirit guide. That is a counterfeit knockoff of the genuine and the authentic Holy Spirit who Jesus sent to be our guide. And he gives specific instructions. In the book of Acts, it says this, the Spirit spoke to Philip. In another place, it says, as they ministered to the Lord, the Spirit spoke. In another place, it says, as they thought on the vision, the Spirit spoke. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit gives specific instructions, and he does it from the inside out. He will speak first on the inside of you, and then he will confirm the will of God by two or three outside witnesses. He's good to do it that way. He's such a great God. I'm telling you, I have moved from one side of the country to the other, and I have moved from one side of the world to the other based on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And that advantage is available for every single believer. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if you are a son of God, you are led by the Spirit of God. That's not two different groups of people. It's all one group. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And then another job description for the Holy Spirit is comforter. Do I need to say anymore? Do I need to tell you what that word means? How many times have we gone through seasons in our life and the comforter of the Holy Spirit himself has made such a difference to us? When we bury family members and we grieve and mourn their loss, the Holy Spirit stands up strong in us because we're sons of God, and he comforts us. It's almost like comforting us from the inside out. Now, comfort is a blessing anywhere it comes from. And when you are grieving and mourning and needing to be comforted, it is a blessing for someone to hug you or tap you on the shoulder and let you know they're there for you and they want to be a comfort to you. They want to say the right things that will minister comfort to you. And all of that is wonderful, and God uses us at times to do that. But the greatest comfort you'll ever receive is not from the outside, but the Holy Spirit comforter on the inside that stands up when you need comfort. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit shows us things which are to come. The Holy Spirit reveals things that God has prepared for us that are yet to come. And then the Bible says the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, our infirmities. I've really leaned on him for this. I know what weaknesses are. One translation defines weaknesses or infirmities as our inability to produce results. There have been many days in my life when I have awakened in the morning and realized I am not able to produce the results today that are expected of me. I am weak today. And Jesus said the Holy Spirit will be the one that comes along beside you. The Greek word is parakletos. It means to stand along beside you. And Jesus said the helper with a capital H. The helper. Jesus called the Holy Spirit. I'm so grateful I have a helper. Now my wife is a helpmeet. We're one. And I know what it is to receive help from the outside. And thank God we all are here for each other. I'm looking across the auditorium right now and can't see those of you who are not dressed yet at home. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just... I won't call a name. Still got pajamas on. That's okay. Isn't it a great thing? But we can help one another. But oh my, not like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can rise up strong in you, in your weakness. And he can become so powerful in your life as a helper that it really will not even matter what your weakness is. It won't be a hindrance anymore because of the helper. One person said the Holy Spirit, when he helps us, he gets the lame out of our life. Get the lame out of your life. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, capital S, himself, capital H, makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. So here's, it's like two job descriptions in one right here for the in that one verse. It's he's our helper and he's the ultimate prayer partner. The Spirit helps with our weaknesses. For we don't even know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession. It's the helper and the ultimate prayer partner working together, all of that going on inside of us by the Holy Spirit. The New Living Translation says this, the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. But I love the Passion translation on that verse, Romans 8:26. The Passion says, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us and our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. For example, at times we don't even know how to pray or the best things to ask for. Love this, listen. But the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs too deep for words. The Holy Spirit can reveal things that are unspeakable. There are not enough words in English. What he's up to in our life, too deep for words. And I love it when it said the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf. It's the helper who comes to us in our weakness and the ultimate prayer partner that always prays the perfect will of God. They're in force together, all of that taking place inside of me. The Message translation says, when you and I are joined together and the relationship is intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit. There would be no church without the Holy Spirit. What would be the point? The body of Christ without the Holy Spirit would be dead. We would be a form denying the power. We're instructed not to do that. So the work of the Holy Spirit, we're celebrating him today. Pentecost Sunday, he's moving into your life. He's getting more involved in our lives. Things are ramping up. Things are escalating. Things that used to drag along now are moving at warp speed. We're changing so quickly. But the biggest change that we ought to see is invisible. And that's the one on the inside of us. I love this. It hit me 20 years ago when Max Lucado wrote it. He's one of the great Christian writers of our day. And he wrote this. I want to share it with you in closing. Max Lucado, the great Christian author, says this. My writing room is different. Just a few months ago, these walls were white. Now they're green. Once these windows were curtain covered. Today they are shielded by shutters. My chair used to sit on tan carpet, but the tan has been replaced with white carpet. To be honest, I have no problem with the tan carpet. It looked fine to me. I didn't even object to the white walls and the curtains. From my perspective, my writing room looked fine. But, he said, not from my wife's perspective. My wife loves to decorate. Better stated, my wife has to decorate. She can no more leave a house unchanged than an artist can leave a canvas untouched, or a musician leave a song unsung. Then he said, fortunately, my wife limits her remodeling to what we own. She's never shuffled the furniture in the hotel room or reorganized pictures in the houses of our friends, though she has been tempted. She only remodels what we possess, but mark it down. What we possess will be remodeled. Because for my wife, it's not enough just to own a house. My wife has to change the house. As for me, I'm content with owning the house. My tastes are, shall we say, less sophisticated. In my view, a chair and a refrigerator go a long way toward award-winning interior design. For me, the Herculean task is purchasing the house. And once that transaction is complete and the house is bought, I'm ready to move in and rest. But not so with my wife. As the ink is drying on the deed, she's moving in and remodeling. I wonder if she inherited this trait from her father, her heavenly father. You see, the way my wife views a house is the way God views a life. God loves to decorate. God has to decorate. Let him live long enough in a heart, and that heart will begin to change. Portraits of hurt will be replaced by landscapes of grace. Walls of anger will be demolished and shaky foundations restored. God can no more leave a life unchanged than a mother can leave her child's tear untouched. It's not enough for him to own you. He wants to change you. Where you and I might be satisfied with a recliner and a refrigerator, he refuses to settle for any dwelling short of a palace. After all, this is his house. No expense is spared, no corners are cut. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. This might explain some of the discomfort in your life. Remodeling of the heart is not always pleasant. We don't object when the carpenter adds a few shelves. But he's been known to gut the entire West Wing. He has such high aspirations for you. God envisions a complete restoration, and he won't stop until he's finished, and he won't be finished until we have been conformed into the image of his dear Son. Isn't that powerful? That's a little explanation from Max Lucado what the Holy Spirit is doing right now in each of our lives, those of us who believe. Would you stand with